The Glockenspiel shows the technical development of the history of mining in Rummelsberg from 968, something like, until 1988, when the mine was closed. The Glockenspiel is running 4 times the day. First, 9 o'clock in the morning, second, 12 noon, third, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and fourth, 6 o'clock in the early evening. It is situated also at the Schiefer. You will recognize when you take a look around. There is the clock above it, and then you see 19 bells cast from Goslarian ore, from metal, but they are not bronze. They are a mixture of different material. And these bells ring several very, very common German songs. The first is Im Wald und auf der Heide, in the wood and on heather. And this is accompanied by the middle door opening to the public, and we see on the left-hand side a coronated king, on the right-hand side a man dressed like a hunter, and in between a horse, a white horse. The story goes like this. In 968, the king called Otto the First, he was near Goslar in a palace called Vala, and he had a hunger for some deer. So he told his deer hunter, "Oh man, I need some meat, so why don't you go hunting for me?" The hunter was on his way through the forest, and near the area of Goslar, he discovered a very big deer. He thought, "I get this one." The hunting went on across stone and wood and through the meadows, and the deer escaped on the slopes of a mountain. But it did not get through the thickness very fast, so the hunter thought, "If I tighten my horse next to a tree and I hunt him while walking and running, I may catch the deer." But the deer disappeared after some minutes, and the hunter did not have any luck. "But what do I tell my king when I come home and say I have no meat?" Returning from this hunt, he came back to his horse and recognized that the horseshoe had shuffled away some surface of the area where the horse was tightened to. And in this area, there was silver glittering. The hunter knew what to do. He broke out a piece, brought it to the king and said, "Look what I have found. I have not found the deer, but I have a piece of silver ore." "Wow," said the king, or something like it. "Where did you find this?" "Well, I didn't find it. It was my horse." "But where? But where?" "Oh, near Goslar. There is a mountain." "What's the mountain's name?" "Well, it got no name." "Well, what's your name?" "My name is Ram." The king said, "Well, to honor your deed, we will call the mountain from now on Rummelsberg." And ever since that, the mountain is called like this. Scene number one. Now the first two doors have closed and we wait for the second run. On the left hand outside, these two doors will open next. And first comes a group of 3 persons dressed like medieval miners. The miners are shown while doing some certain work. The first one has a torch in his hand, which does not mean that it is dark below in the mine. there where they worked, the ore was very, very hard to get out. Without any technical help, it was just the hammer and a pile. And this was done 8 hours a day. About 50 kilograms, not more, were taken out by each miner out of the mountain. But the one with the torch, he shows something significant. Probably in the late 10th, early 11th century, the miners found out when you put wood next to the ore and lighten it with the torch, the ore stretches out from the heat and then tightens together when it gets cold, and then it becomes cracklish, and you can get it out of the gallery easier. Fire setting is that what we call it. Yeah. The first one of these three miners is setting fire. The second one has a wheel carrier, and he pushes the ore towards another place where the ore is being brought overground from underground, and the carrier shows us that three times more of the ore was to be taken out with fire setting, one carrier without fire setting, and the last one is getting the rests together, that nothing is lost, because it was very, very expensive to work in the mine and to get this stuff out. The ore was taken overground, and it's important to know that in the beginning it was melted very, very close to the ore, using a lot of wood. So now you have to imagine, they started probably, but very, very sure, 1,000 years before Christ. So they transported the ore to the wood. First it was perhaps 50 meters, then it was 100 meters, then it was 150, 200, and so on and so on. Other mines started. The Harz was chopped down. All the trees were chopped down. And only in 1572, they stopped having their melting huts all over the Harz Mountains, and the ore was brought to one certain place, and this is Herzog Juliushütte. So the last one shows us the end of the medieval mining system and the beginning of the early New Times mining systems. And this brings us to the third group of persons working in the mine, because these are now not miners, but they are carpenters. And they are not dressed like medieval people, the Knappen, as I said. The carpenters are dressed like 1865, a very, very important year for the Rummelsberg, because Mr. Nobel, he invented dynamite, and the dynamite was tested in the Harz Mountains if the miners could use it for their aim. And in 1869, they first used dynamite in the Rummelsberg. But they knew already that the old body of ore, which was opened 1,000 before Christ, was getting more and more thin towards the end of the body. And the person to get the Rummelsberg going for another 130 years is called Mr. Koch. He's the father of the Nobel Prize holder, Robert Koch. And Mr. Koch was working as an engineer at the Rummelsberg, and he discovered a new body of ore. And this body of ore was opened also in 1865, together with the use of dynamite. So now we come back to the beginning of our little Glockenspiel tour. Remember the man with the wheel carrier, what was three wheel carriers per person? Let's say there were about 180 to 220 people working per day there. This was minor, but with the explosives it becomes major important, because in the end, with the use of the explosives, they took out per day, and this 5 days per week, 1,200 tons of ore. So this is 6,000 tons of ore per week, and you have to imagine 33% of the ore is pure metal, and not just copper, lead, silver. Later, in the 19th and 20th century, especially in the 20th century, zinc was very, very important in the Rammelsberg, but also other metals, which we now know as rare earth. Nickel, arsenic, cadmium, wolfram, antimony, and more, and white rhyol, and ochre, and so on. The Rammelsberg was our treasure case. Yeah. And the last scene, this is the inner doors of the outside. This shows us two miners using a modern driller, a pneumatic driller. And this pneumatic driller, you have to imagine, over the hundreds of years, they came down to about 500 meters below the surface, or below the entrance, let's say it like this. And if they use the, or if, when they use the explosives in the mine, you can imagine they had to be very, very careful. And with one big boom, everything would fall down to pieces and the mining would be over and many people would be dead. But these people that we are seeing there on this last scene, this is the so-called Schießhauer. And the Schießhauer has an apprentice with him, and he's teaching him for 3.5 years how to set the drillings on a square of 2 by 2 meters. Yeah, and there something like 5 drillings were done, and very, very little explosives were put in, but very, very carefully chosen, they were brought one after the other to an explosion, so there was no big vibrations. So this is very important for the last years of mining, in the last years until 1988, because there was no more ore. And these two people, the Schießhauer and his apprentice, they show us how it was done very carefully and with very, very good technology. They got all the different metal out of the ore of the Rammelsberg. So this Rammelsberg is so important for Goslar that the Rammelsberg is the A in our setting of the World Cultural Heritage Goslar, and the town is B.